Hey everybody, I'm Ag. My name's Tom.
Hey Tom.
First of all, I gotta say it's an honor to be asked to do something at an event like this in California where it all began. I really wanted to not do this because if my mouth is moving, that means I'm not learning anything. Because I thought there would be a lot of stuff here I could learn from the people who came before me. The program you have, it's got a little typo, and I'm supposed to be doing in this, and it's under the segment of the growth and development of the fellowship and WSO late 70s and 80s, and the typo is one, it should be on the development and destiny of the service guide in the 80s. So I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with the guide to service and the process that went through. How many people are here with 20 years or more clean? Nice. Wow. I can't tell you guys nothing. You guys were there.
Just try.
What I will do is I'll tell you that I've been working on researching this for quite some time. I asked Paul if it was possible to bring up a website that some friends of mine have been working on. It's called nauca.us, and it's got more historic documents than you will find on every other website out there, times two. NAUCA, Upper Cumberland area, it's in Tennessee, .us, NAUCA.us. So I've been scanning, I've got boxes and boxes of Tupperware things of archives from when I got clean in 86. And the guide to local service just came out in 1985, so that was one of the first things that I got to look at and learn from. So what I did was I got into all those archives and I started pulling stuff out and making it all one document, the select committee, everything that's in the news line or the fellowship report or the conference agenda report, all of it, put it all in one file under the select committee. Then all of it under ad hoc committee to local service, or to the guided service. I put all that in one. And I've come up with like 31 different references of different stuff from that website. And I don't want to read this to you, but I will tell you I'm going to give it to Paul and maybe they'll put it online. So you can read this paper and you'll be able to click on any of those links in the back. Like if you go, oh, that's bullshit, That line right there about what happened in 1986, that's bullshit. Well, you click on the link and you can go back and you can read the document yourself. Something that I have not heard this weekend is something that I thought was very, very prevalent for years and years and years in the fellowship. And I don't hear it too much anymore either. But maybe that's why it's not being talked about this weekend. But, I think, was it Bo or Jim? Somebody was talking about the us and them. Okay, well, that us and them used to be the East Coast and the West Coast. And I'm sure a lot of you guys all remember all that, So I'm in Missouri. I'm the No Coast, And now that I'm right in the middle of Missouri, I'm in the state capital. So I got Kansas City on the west, I got St. Louis on the east, and I'm like virtually right in the middle of both of those. And that's where Narcotics Anonymous was in those places, but it wasn't where I lived. So I go to Kansas City for my JOB, and I get a little flavor of how the fellowship is there. And I go to St. Louis for events and conventions and things, and I get a taste of what the fellowship's like there. It's totally different, East and West. And it was totally different East Coast, West Coast. Back in the 80s, late 80s, 90s, I think, there was this rift. And I don't know if it's because of the mountains or what. I, plane tickets, I'm not sure. But my gravitational was mostly to the east, maybe because of the mountains, maybe because of plane tickets. I don't know, but I would go to conventions in Texas or Nashville or Florida, or I'd always be going that way. So, that's kind of like the most of the information I got was coming from there, attic to attic. But then the information I got in print matter was Fellowship Report and Newsline and stuff coming from the West Coast, Kansas City. So, I'm right in the middle of right in the middle. And our state motto, how many of you know it?
Show me.
Right. So, I think my sponsor used to say, believe nothing of what you hear and only half of what you see. And so, I took that to heart. So, but this stuff here, when it's written down, to me that makes it factual. And after I retired, I did get an education, and it turns out that I do know how to study, and I can get good grades, and I did graduate, and I even went to the graduation. that was due. So having a mind that did not get destroyed from those many years of active addiction, I was able to discern from the written word on a piece of paper. And when you guys see this, you're going to be, I think, as disturbed as I became the more I researched this subject about the God. It began in 1984 when the chairperson of the World Service Conference appointed himself the chair of the select committee and then handpicked 6 members to work on this with them. And what they decided, or what their task was, to put together, let's see, how does it word it? To prepare a draft service manual that will contain detailed description of the service structure of the fellowship. Just get it, put it on one paper, put it together. Jim mentioned it earlier about there was the green guide that was before that too, that they approved half of it. That became the temporary work guide. Well, they wanted to get it all nice and neat, tucked in. This is what you do. Okay. Told the fellowship they could get it done by 1986. So then I go down here into 1987, and they're telling them that it'll be done by 1993. 3 more years, we'll get it done. 3 more years. Keep funding us. 3 more years and we'll get it done. So, then it goes on and on. It's really bizarre how things, like in 1992, they've showed up again, here's the Board of Trustees have submitted 4 things that have to do with our service structure that never even went to the people that are working on our service structure. But they show up at the conference saying, here, approve these things. And here the 4 things are the World Service Office, this report contains the 4 items the World Service Board of Trustees are presenting for action at WSC 1992. The World Board of Trustees operational procedures, the World Service Board internal guidelines, a 1-year proposal for dual membership on the boards of trustees and directors, and the Fellowship Intellectual Property Trust. And we've got an ad hoc committee that's supposed to be working on getting it all nice and neat put together. But they just kind of went around them. And they show up at the conference with these 4 documents. But they show up at the conference with these 4 documents, and the chairperson of the conference is also the chairperson of this ad hoc on a guide service. So he's, in essence, letting it happen. For those 9 years, we had 5 different people that were the chair of this project, beginning as the select committee and eventually becoming the, they call it the NAS in the last few documents that are available. NA service, I think is what that stands for. I never could find out where it actually did stand for, but select. It was before that.
Select committee.
Thanks, Bo. Thanks. Select committee first. Then later on, after it became the NAS. So for those 9 years, I checked the financials. You know, I like to know where the money's going myself. And so I counted $180,000. That's just from this select and ad hoc committee on a guide to service. That's like eight people. Eight, nine, ten people. I don't know. You can't find out who was actually appointed for a couple of the different years. No information is available. Looking at all of their reports as well. Actually, some of them don't even give a statement of who the chairperson was for the entire year. But you can only assume that it's the chairperson of the World Service Conference. So I figure with the $180,000 for the 9 years on those people, there was also money spent by the World Service Office for their participation and money spent by the World Service Board of Trustees because they were part of the committee as well. And I found in 1991, there was a weekend event called the Second Albuquerque Meeting, which is, I mean, was it the Blues Brothers that had the double top secret stuff? So I think it was the Blues Brothers were, you know, the double top secret. So this was a double top secret weekend that if anybody finds any minutes or any kind of real information about what happened at that weekend, I'd sure like to read it. But they did have to publish what they spent on it. And that was in 1991 after they had fired Bob Stone and had yet to hire Joe Gossett. So this weekend cost for the office, $7,930, just for some members to go and listen to what was going on. So, you know, this at that point it starts getting a little distressing. I figure, well, if they spent that much on one weekend, then surely they probably matched, if not exceeded, the $180,000 that was spent by the subcommittee. So that's like, well, they'll just take a conservative estimate and say $300,000. And they had one motion that passed. Or wait. The one thing that came out of that committee is one thing that you will probably never guess what it was. Does anybody know what came out of that committee? A committee on a guide to local service. Committee on an ad hoc, the ad hoc committee on a guide to service. The 12 concepts. That's not even what we asked them to do. Okay? So in the middle of all of that, there was these things called the 12 principles. Now, all these people with all the things, everybody remembers it, I guess. You know, 20, who all remembers the 12 principles? Nobody? Oh, got one, two? Gary? Three? All right. Well, in the middle of that, you know, I'm just shocked at some of the stuff that I found in researching this guide to service. Shocked. Because you know what? We were going down a path, and this is this, from reading the documents, you'll look at it and you'll say, well, this person is saying that he thinks the subcommittee is doing the will of the office. So how do we stop that? Well, we've got to get the executive director out of office. Bob Stone was removed. Gone. Like that. Never, ever a reason for why Bob was removed. Gone. So the person that took over was Stu Turtleman. I don't know how many of you heard of him. I didn't see his picture up here last night, but I understand he has passed away. That's why I use his last name. So we were working on this thing, and you know, they were mailing it out. The guys were going out, and people were doing a review and input, sending stuff back, feeling like we're going to get somewhere. We're going to make some headway. We're going to get this ironed out, and people are going to feel like they're involved. You know, that here's the service structure, get involved. Well, they went to the 1989 World Service Conference, and the chairperson gave his report. And this is what he said: when the idea of establishing a national level of service was introduced to the World Service Conference in 1989, it was met with encouragement by the gathered regional service representatives, RSRs, particularly those from regions outside the United States. The committee stated that they were on the right track with their expanded authority to change the service structure. After releasing two earlier, less comprehensive drafts, one in 1985 and another in 1987, the committee has now developed material based on a realistic assessment of the needs of our growing worldwide fellowship, offering sound, consistent, principled solutions to our developmental problems. Okay? That was like, wow, okay, good deal. So their work continued on this direction until August 16th, 1992. And I hope you guys will check these facts. You know, I don't make these up. The truth is better than fiction in Narcotics Anonymous service. August the 16th, 1992, working groups, I think is what they're using today in what is considered the service structure. There used to be subcommittees, so. August 16, 1992, a working group composed of Dave Tynes, Becky Meyer, Stu Turtleman, Joe Gossett, Anthony Edmondson, Steve Lantos, and Lee Manchester. How many of you guys recognize those names? Virtually every one of them works at the office. They met to develop a model to be used in completing the chapters on national and world services for a guide to service in Narcotics Anonymous. These six, seven, eight people. The members of this group were in unanimous agreement with the points presented below. Rather than continuing in the vein of earlier guide to service drafts, the group decided that a unified model should be pursued, one that does not provide for a separate American /national structure. They were saying this national structure that these addicts have been working on for all these years, gotta go. We cannot have this. So years of work and a handful of people, primarily consisting of WSO special workers, derailed a project that was so warmly embraced by the RSRs from outside the United States. Then those points that I was talking about, or that they were referring to, I'll list it real quickly. It's bizarre as hell how they just do this. I don't know who somebody was talking about earlier. Anyway, the working group decided to recommend that no national conference be created and that World Services continue to serve NA in every country as they do now. The group acknowledged that right now there is no coherent program for delivering services affecting NA in the USA nationwide. However, the group believed that the fragmentation of our world services into independent arms, which is what we had, the World Service Office, we had the trustees, and we had the conference and the conference committees, World Service Conference, okay? That's the problem, not the lack of national focus in the USA is responsible for poor USA service coordination. The working group is convinced that the consolidation of World Service Administration, that is, the establishment of a single effective point of decision and accountability for World Services when the WSC is not in session, is the most important step we can take to ensure creation and effective delivery of NA services in the USA and elsewhere worldwide. So, Not only did these WSO special workers decide to eliminate the idea of a national level of service, they decided that the real problem was the division of power. They went on to clarify how they saw the need to create a primary service board, PSB, and they said serve as a worldwide conference's main agency for the fulfillment of world services. To achieve this amount of change, something monumental was needed. Because, I mean, we were all headed down this path, and this is what we're doing. We've got these subcommittees, we've got the Board of Trustees, and we've got the office. Well, what are they going to do? 1993, what do you suppose they did?
Change their mind.
We need to take an inventory. We need to shut this whole thing down. We need to stop what we're doing. Listen to us, people. We got to stop. So they did an inventory. And guess what happened after that inventory? We got a single board. But the fellowship said, I mean, and that came about, I'm not going to read this to you, but I hope you will read it and check the facts. The single board was approved in 1992, I believe it is, or 2000. I am a little dyslexic in that regard with the numbers. I think it's because my dad was a CPA. But he got all those. And yet we voted down the idea that they presented of eliminating subcommittees. The fellowship said, no, we do not want that, but it's okay, yeah, you go ahead and do your one world board, but keep those subcommittees until they killed them. Here's resolution B, to approve in principle the adoption of a world board, translate to primary service board, replacing the current World Service Board of Trustees, WSO Board of Directors, and WSC Administrative Committee. The other resolution that did not pass was about eliminating submit. So you fast forward to 6 years, so that'd be 2004, I guess, 1996, 2002 maybe, 2004. Oh, that was the the interim committee of seven members.
Seven members.
How few members can affect so many? Crazy. But, I mean, read this, because I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm kind of, I was kind of at a loss for how to actually do a presentation on this, because it's so massive. So massive. 84. What's this? I always miss 10 years. 30 years, 31 years ago when this started. Okay, so fast forward to 6 years, and this is, we do remember the passion related to this topic back in 1998. But the truth is that the current standing committee structure has begun to experience the very same pitfalls as the pre-1998 standing committee system when we were committee driven. Subsequently, the following was proposed in the 2004 CAR. Motion 6, to eliminate specific language about standing committees, except the executive committee from the section committees of the Board of the World Board External Guidelines and a Guide to World Services. So finally, after almost 8 long years, the 7 people that met in 1992 achieved what they set out to accomplish. Currently the executive directors of the World Service Office, another long-term member of the office, another member that was mentioned earlier about having written most of the Just for Today book, all the concepts, and some other stuff. Lee Mint, I don't even know if he's alive or dead. Never seen him, don't know. I wouldn't know. Maybe he was sitting right there. You're not Lee, are you? You're not Lee? Okay. That's good. Because I was a little apprehensive about giving this report, because I'm sure it's going to piss off a lot of people. I hope it pisses you off enough you'll do something. I've been trying to do something for a long time. But, a lone voice in the Show Me region only goes so far. So, you know, I do think I want to read my last paragraph to you. You know, it kind of like brings it all home, and he hasn't flashed me a card yet. Okay, I'll take it. I got 5 minutes. Okay. If we had the guide that's, and it's titled, A Guide to Serve Us. Okay. You know, and copy it, send it to as many people as you want. You know, personal anonymity, less level of press, radio, film. My name's not on here. But you guys know I wrote it. Okay, and you have permission to pass it on anywhere and everywhere. If we had a guide that served us during this period of time, I believe that more of our members would have eagerly joined the ranks of service. Perhaps we would not be of the belief that regional assemblies of GSRs is feasible, as stated in the current guide to local services. Maybe we would have a clear understanding of what group conscience is when related to our service structure, instead of fumbling around with something called consensus-based decision-making. And conceivably, by now, our internet presence would have evolved to the point matching or surpassing Craigslist, giving addicts and family members a simple map to click on and discover their local NA contact information. Simple. Okay, looking back and attempting to find the dots and then connect the dots behind the development of our service structure should not be so lengthy or difficult. We modified the steps and traditions from Alcoholics Anonymous with their approval to suit our needs. However, the 12 concepts for NA service was not adapted from the AA 12 concepts for world service. A paper prepared in 1989 by this select committee to report on a history of the 12 principles of NA service, the predecessors of the concepts, declared something that seemed excessive. That report claimed that AA's evolution to the point at which these things, the concepts, were being written by its co-founder was from centralization of power to democratization of power. In other words, Bill Wilson had his hand on everything. He controlled everything. They were trying to get it to where the fellowship controlled everything. Okay, they were exploring the realistic parameters that should define their move toward fellowship-wide participation in service. They said this. This is what I found really shocking. Our evolution to the point at which these are our glaring world service issues is in the other direction. Our experience with full participatory democracy is straining, and we're being forced to learn about trust and delegation. Wow. Okay, this is my synopsis, I sum it up. The road to where we are as a fellowship is marked with many trials and errors. Looking back to where we've been, I believe we have a better view of where we're going. Do you think we are headed in the direction of more delegation, or is it possible to go back to having some representation? Now that some of the dots are connected in a cohesive way, something can be done to check the map. Perhaps change the driver and orchestrate a guide that will serve us, not confuse and bewilder us and future members. Any questions?
What's the website?
I'm going to put this on you guys' website, I hope. Oh, the website for all the history facts is www.naUCA.us. That's like got everything. There's a whole bunch on the Show Me Regional web, showmeregionna.org as well. There's like cars and the cats and all that stuff's all on there. But you know, if we don't know our past, what do they say about every choice? If we don't know our past, we're destined to repeat it. You know, so I think we're going down a road that maybe we don't want to be going down. Is there a question? Come on. No, no question.
Oh.